Welcome to the Empower to Connect podcast, where we come together to discuss a healing-centered approach to engagement and well-being for ourselves, our families, and our communities. I'm JD Wilson, and I am your host. And today on the show, we've got the team from Safe and Secure Tennessee. Well, I'll be honest, part of the team from Safe and Secure Tennessee is with us today. And we're going to talk about how do TBRI functions within organizations. So all of our guests today are coming, including myself even, from a wide array of backgrounds working with kids in some form of trauma-informed way, or supporting organizations that have been implementing or working with kids who have experienced early trauma, adversity, loss in life. And so we're going to talk with them today about how that looks in organizations. So if you're working with kids right now and you are the Lone Ranger thinking about, and I really wish that we had a way to implement TBRI, listen to this episode and we'll tell you how to do it perfectly and you'll never have to think about it again. Just kidding. But we will give you some practical tips and support and just some ideas of how it can look to start. What are some of the founding principles that you should work toward early on in that? But we will talk today with our team from Safe and Secure. And so without any further ado, we will talk with them now.
If you are supporting parents in your local community and you want to bring Cultivate Connection, our 18-module parenting course, to a school, church, community center, living room near you, you can apply now. Our application window is open March 28th through April 28th for our summer facilitator training. We'd love to see you.
Well, all right. We are here today with the team from Safe and Secure Tennessee. And so Dr. Rachel Peterman and Antila Love and Emily Graffius are here with us. And we'll introduce each of them to the team here. And so why don't we kind of start? So Rachel, you've been with us several times before on the podcast. And well, you know what, Emily, you're the only one that's the first time.
I'm a newbie.
The first time guest here today. But why don't we start, Rachel, with, you know, if you'll just explain or tell people who you are and kind of what your work looks like here, and then we'll introduce Antila and Emily, and then we'll get into our conversation.
Okay. I'm Dr. Rachel Peterman. I'm the program manager for Safe and Secure Tennessee. I have been with this organization for many years. So some of you have heard this before, but I've been here about 7 years, and I started doing counseling in our clinic, the Memphis Family Connection Center, and then was doing some training in the community and supporting that work that we were doing. And we saw there was a greater need to support communities by doing not just training, but also like coaching and helping people to actually implement TBRI. And so a couple of years ago, we launched Safe and Secure Tennessee, and we're now serving different organizations across the whole state. And I can't wait to talk more about what we're doing with all of that.
Well, hold on for right now. Don't say that yet. Antila, obviously, we've known each other for a long time through a variety of different ways. That's the way we're going to say that. But from church and from working together as colleagues in education before. But why don't you introduce yourself and talk about kind of your background and what you do with Safe and Secure?
Yeah, I'm Antila Love, and I actually have two jobs. I work in a school part-time and then also with Safe and Secure. We do TBRI in Tennessee, shameless plug, a virtual training. And then we also have our Shelby County Collective, which is for local organizations.
And we'll talk more about the collective in just a second. Emily, you're newest on the team, officially here. Why don't you talk about kind of your work, your background, who you are, and then what you do for Safe and Secure?
So I am a foster adoptive mom, and I feel like that gets you involved with trauma-informed care at some point. So how I started caring about TBRI, and I have worked for nonprofits and ministries for the last decade. And then found Safe and Secure Tennessee and really believe in what Rachel started, and I'm happy to be on the team.
Awesome. Awesome. So, you know, if you're hearing this and you're kind of wondering, like, I thought this was a parenting podcast, why are we talking about TBRI? if you've heard before, and we won't go through the whole story now, but Empower to Connect is actually three programs. So the Empower to Connect Institute, which is all the resources that you hear, the podcasts, parenting classes, all those things. And then the Memphis Family Connection Center, which you've heard lots of our therapists on before as guests talking about the care they're giving. It's a holistic family care clinic here in Memphis. The third program we have is Safe and Secure Tennessee, which is the gatekeeper, so to speak, for TBRI in the state of Tennessee. So if you don't know what TBRI is, it's trust-based relational intervention. It's a modality of care that was developed by a team at TCU, Dr. Karen Purvis and Dr. Cross and all their team. And so a few years ago, some of the team from TCU, from the Karen Purvis Institute, were visiting here. We were talking, we heard about, the ambassador organization program they were starting. And Rachel, the ambassador program, ambassador org, what is an ambassador organization and why do they do this?
What is it all about? So basically TCU realized kind of how similar to what we noticed was that when you do counseling, therapy, support kids, support parents, that's only one part of the picture. And there's a lot of information that they wanted to get out to a lot of people in a lot of places, including a goal of 25 states, 25 countries by 2025, I think was their big goal.
Yeah.
So big, hairy, audacious goal, right? Yep. And so part of the way they figured out how to do that was to start having what they called ambassador organizations who would then bring TBRI to their states and communities.
Yeah.
And because they couldn't be everywhere, right? They're one college, one department in that college, or university. So ambassador organizations basically bring TBRI to parents, caregivers, professionals, communities. Each one gets to kind of decide what makes the most sense in order to meet the needs of their state. So that's how we.
Yeah. Awesome. So we became an ambassador org, and quickly what we realized, I know that when the program started, we thought, well, we'll slow roll this out and we'll kind of gradually add some programs in. And pretty soon as word got out, it was wildfire, right?
It was.
Yeah.
Darren Jones warned us about that. We were like, no, it's fine. We're just going to slow roll. He said, be careful. As soon as you let people know what you're doing, they start banging down your door. And he wasn't kidding. So our desires to move very slowly were quickly thwarted. We've ended up having various contracts with statewide organizations, working locally, and then even expanding our community work into two other communities across the state, all in the last 2 years.
At warp speed. And Taylor, you were a part of the first kind of iteration of Safe and Secure Tennessee, which was the Shelby County Collective here before. It's funny because I say before you were officially on the team, you and Matthew were already Cultivate Connection facilitators and teaching the course. You were teaching the course to other parents at the school you work at. So obviously, functionally, you're already part of the team, but from an HR perspective, you're not yet officially part of our team yet. So why don't you talk for a second, if you will. So the idea behind the Shelby County Collective was the same principles you just heard talked about with the TC was coming from. Our team is only so large and the work happening in the Memphis area in Shelby County is gigantic. And so, over 1 million people, there's more needs than we have people to attack those. And so we thought rather than try to do all that ourselves, it's better to figure out, what are 10, 12 organizations we can get in the room to do training with those organizations who are impacting thousands of kids on a daily basis out in the city, have them go out and be sort of the ambassadors for their setting, helping to bring trauma-informed care through. So the collective, you were in the first iteration of it. What practically as an organization, like what kind of benefit was it for you at New Hope at the school you work at to have TBRI training and be able to start bringing that into the work you were doing?
Yeah. So it helped a lot with our office. So there are three of us in the alumni office and two of us participated. And so that was very helpful as we're going out to visit students that have, gone on to other schools, how we can best support them in that way. And then really encouraging some of our other partner schools to be involved as well.
Yeah.
Because we care for our kids a lot and we want the best for them. So,
yeah.
And I've been able to, like, you know, kind of plug in staff meetings or just wherever I can get in for people to know about this information.
Yeah, that's awesome. So we now, as Rachel said, have expanded the Work is Safe and Secure from just Shelby County to across the state. Emily, you are not based in Memphis, right? With your work with Safe and Secure Tennessee. So tell us about where you are and how this work is happening where you are in the state.
Well, I live outside of Chattanooga, and Safe and Secure started in Memphis, like they said. And so now we've spread across to, there's Bradley Polk County and Wilson County are the main partners that we have that are implementing TBRI support in organizations.
So. Yeah. And so, you know, what we found, there tends to be, and this is true of ambassador orgs, I think kind of all over, but there tends to be different systems or different functions where TBRI begins to get traction in different communities. And so if you listen to the episode, we had Lucinda in from Louisiana. She talked about how it is grown within their care, within the prison system, right? And so here in Memphis, there's been a lot of kind of from the after-school world and academic side or education side of things. We've had a lot of traction there starting off a lot with Department of Children's Services. What about where you are outside Chattanooga? Like what?
Yeah, and Bradley Polk, they have done a lot of work with the juvenile justice system. So okay. The courts are really involved. The judge has gone to TBRI practitioner training and he is adjusting things according to what he's learned to be more conscious of kids that are coming into court and families to be able to serve them with just the smallest things as snacks and water or changing the schedule of the court system. So as a foster mom personally, a former foster mom, it is encouraging to see because it's so stressful to come in and have to sit there for 4 hours. But seeing that judges are caring, that's a huge piece. And the judge in Wilson County was really caring and getting on board. And so the slow and steady change that Safe and Secure is helping support across our state has been incredible to watch and be a part of.
Awesome. Okay, Rachel, I'll start with you with this question, but if people are familiar with TBRI and if they're listening to this podcast, they're used to hearing it applied in a parenting context, right? And we're talking about TBRI working in organizations and with judges and all of that. And we're not talking about child judges. We're talking about adults. And so I think we normally think about TBRI in the context of children and care for kids. Why does this work and how does this work in organizations and ministries as staff are caring for each other?
So many ways. It's just kind of amazing because TBRI isn't just a modality of care or parenting approach. It's really about how you view people in relationships. And so we've talked about communities and we're talking about organizations and ministries, like all these different layers. What we found is that if you apply TBRI, you are really talking about the way that you look at people, understand their needs, meet their needs, and help things to move forward in a way that's just caring and considerate and thoughtful and understanding. And so when we think about organizations, a lot of the organizations that we work with, we are focused on mostly child-serving organizations. Now, it's not limited to that, but most of them are serving those who are either serving foster and adoptive families. Many are kind of in these different systems that overlap, even homelessness, for example. And there's a lot of obviously trauma there. And so for the staff, it's really hard work.
Yeah.
And they are getting secondary trauma through the work that they're doing and compassion fatigue or burnout. It's got a lot of different names, but basically we've got to take care of each other. And so what this does and kind of our approach is to help support the organization in helping take care of itself and moving forward to support each other in the organization. We want leadership to be able to support each other, support their staff. It kind of keeps going down that like chain or order, but you have to take care of each other or you can't do the work because you're going to burn out and it's going to be too much.
Yeah. Well, and that's, I think about, you know, one simple thing that I feel like I've seen in that, you know, almost every parenting conversation we have comes back to yourself, right? Like you have to own your own stuff. And know, and so I think even just from an organizational culture standpoint, like having TBRI as a foundation of the work that's happening also encourages staff. If, you know, if you get annoyed with somebody at work or somebody that something that someone says rubs the wrong way in the typical kind of adult workplace, you know, you do what mature adults do. You let that fester and you begin talking about that person behind their back and you go home from work and tell your spouse about, oh, I can't stand so-and-so. They're so annoying, whatever. So what now happens if you're consciously thinking about and practicing these principles is that happens, it rubs the wrong way and you sit and go, why did that bother me so much? I wonder why. Maybe that's, and you begin to do that work within yourself. And then you might see, oh, this thing that happened actually is not that person's fault at all. I heard this way because of this thing. So it then helps you to understand that. And when that is said again, you can either talk to that person about it directly if it's that serious, or you can kind of have that knowledge of like, oh, that doesn't bother me. That's not where that's coming from. So I think it's good business practice to build trusting relationships within your workplace, right? But it also... We would say scientifically, we know that this is probably one of the most, you know, well-oiled machines of a relational systems.
There's, it's not the TBRI, like it's not coined by TBRI or KPICD, but constructive organizational culture. So those that are looking at it from like an organizational culture perspective, there's a whole field of study kind of looking at more of that business practice and leadership styles, and constructive organizational culture is kind of the phrase, and TBRI fits in with a way of like doing that. Also kind of parallels or fits with relational leadership. So again, a lot of it, and we see this a lot because we work across sectors, there's different terms and different language and different ways of looking at a situation. But ultimately, you can integrate these TBRI principles, which is about how you interact with each other, into that, no matter which sector, no matter what size of the organization, it all kind of, you know, mixes together into being a supportive organizational culture.
As a part of that, we have one of the foundations of TBRI, we talk about this all the time, is felt safety. And so, you know, just because somebody is safe doesn't mean they always feel safe. And that comes through probably a 1-year podcast series worth of different reasonings and all that. So there's a lot going on behind what helps people to feel safe or not feel safe. But building an environment where people can feel safe to work there, to exist there, live there, all that is integral in this. And so, Antila, I'll ask you this question. Like, how can organizations, what can they do to promote felt safety, to create that felt safety, and how can they help to build that within their organizational culture?
Yeah, I can use a school right now as an example. I feel like we do very well over here at Safe and Secure with felt safety. Just realizing, like you said, JD, it's not all about your environmental safety. It's like, yes, the doors are locked. There's security on campus. I know that I can, you know, hide if I need to or whatever.
Right.
Feeling safe on the outside is very different than feeling safe internally. And so with that, if you're thinking about staff, just providing some structure around staff meetings, providing, you know, water bottles, snacks, or something like that for staff members to like help regulate themselves. Really, that internal safety, I think, is all about how we're able to regulate. If we're able to talk to our bosses, like that's a big part of felt safety, because if I can't talk to my boss about something that's going on, then for fear of like, you know, being fired or whatever, if I'm sharing, you know, how I'm feeling, that's not a very safe place to be. And so anytime you're dealing with like transitions, all of the things that help you to know what's coming next or what to expect, I think is very important.
Awesome. Any other thoughts, Emily or Rachel, on that, like things that can help build felt safety in an organization?
I think a lot of it does go back to the relationships. And so being able to connect with each other, having fun, like incorporating some play. It's not just about we all have a job to do, right? So no matter what your organization is, yes, there is, there are clear goals, there are clear things we have to do, but also this is where we spend all this time and we're with each other so much and we're working together toward a common goal. And in order to do that, we want to build those relationships with each other,
yeah,
play, have fun. And then it's a whole lot easier when you have that history and shared experiences with each other that are not always negative or hard. I mean, we all are doing hard work, but if it's always so hard,
right,
you don't feel safe because every conversation is a hard conversation, even if it's not about you, right? So yeah, you want to try to incorporate that into just daily operations of what you're doing.
Yeah.
Which the basis is trust, right? So it's just, and I can speak to that coming in new to Safe and Secure Tennessee, that's based in TBRI, there is a difference coming in and having felt safety and trust with the boss, who I don't have to wonder if she's lying to me, or we've just created within Tila as well, like just a basis of trust and openness. I don't feel like there's any like gossip or backstabbing. Like the environment here is very open and honest. And if you're running an organization and listening to this podcast, what can you do to create a more safe environment? What can you do to create a more trust-based environment? If people are complaining to you a lot, what can be changed? Like, what can you do? Being able to be a humble leader really helps build trust in organizations. And that's what we try to do across Tennessee for sure, as we go into organizations and courtrooms and law offices and work with different people from all over, nonprofits, churches. Like, where are the pain points and what can we help? And just one baby step of trying to earn trust with your coworkers and your employees and the people you serve. So
yeah, there's I saw this recently. There's an organization in Memphis that it's a regular for-profit business, but they employ kind of the upside down pyramid within their staff culture, where at the very bottom of the pyramid is trust. And so no other conversations happen productively within a work and or worker and supervisor environment unless there's trust built in the beginning. And so this guy was explaining, you know, hey, if I've got a supervisor who comes in saying like, hey, I can't stand this guy, like we need to get rid of him, he's blowing it all the time on the job, whatever, like he starts out with, all right, well, what does he say when we talk about it? Well, I'm talking to him about it, he's driving me crazy, whatever. And he's like, well, let's look at this pyramid and let's remember, like, have you guys built trust? Is there a way that he can come to you or you can go to him without feeling attacked? And so he said 9 times out of 10, the answer is like a begrudging, like, no. and then the encouragement is like, hey, try to attack this from a different angle. Here's some ways you can build that relationship so you can have those conversations. But the idea too is like, when that trust is there and built, like it does take pressure off of the relationship, because if you feel like you understand somebody and know somebody well, it gives you leeway to open up, be a little bit more vulnerable. And then there's open lines of communication. And 99% of organizational problems come because of jacked up communication, right? So if the communication can flow freely, hey, I'm struggling to get this done in time, I'm gonna need some help here, that's either an extended deadline or can I pull somebody else in to help me with this? Well, then when the time comes and the project isn't done on time, nobody's surprised. Everybody's in the loop on it. They're aware of it. They've created another solution that works, as opposed to that person then pulling it all night or the night before and getting the job done not as well and turning a project in to where then the boss is like, I mean, it's just not even personal, frazzled. Not the project isn't even done well. Like, why didn't you tell me that you were having trouble with it? You know?
Yeah. Communication is a big part of trust.
And I love how you said that they can come to you and talk about it, because I think that's so important. If we normalize that people aren't going to be perfect all the time.
Yeah.
Coming from a recovering perfectionist here, I want things to be right and perfect. And I have these ideas about what it should be, but being able, it's hard enough for some people to accept that for themselves, but to go to your boss or even your coworkers and say, I don't know how to do this, or I don't know how to do this well, or I need help with this piece. It can be really hard to ask for help. And I mean, that comes full circle. Like, being able to advocate for yourself and meet your own needs or ask for help getting your needs met is all what, I mean, TBRI is based on that. That's totally. That's what it comes down to, is having those needs, being able to get them met, and skills of attachment of giving and receiving care and help. And if you can't ask for that help because you don't feel safe, then things don't operate as well as they could. And yeah. So being able to support each other in doing that and having that safe place to be able to ask is yeah. so important.
Yeah.
I know a huge issue for a lot of the organizations that we work with is turnover. We do hard work. Like I said, there's a lot of burnout. Some of it is because the work itself is just really hard and we can only do it for so long. Like part right. of that is just, we all have some limits and just can't keep going. Or need a break, right? But part of it is the environment that you work in, and we're in these systems, and that's what Safe and Secure really is trying to help kind of recognize the complexity of these systems and say, there's a lot of things we can't change. There's a lot of things about the child welfare system that are unchangeable or won't change for a long time, or the justice system or the education system. And that's okay. That's okay for right now, because we can do our part within yeah. those systems and support, you know, not having so much turnover, since you don't have to train somebody else and rebuild relationships with all of those families that you already had relationships with and that kind of stuff. So that's a lot of what, how TBRI kind of translates, like with that attachment piece. And, you know, why does that matter for an organization to care about that? You know, it's that long-term success, people being able to right. do their job, do it well, and continue to grow as professionals and as people together, rather right. than, nope, you weren't perfect today, we're yeah. done. I mean, again, that doesn't feel safe. So,
right. Well, and that kind of brings me to my last kind of thread we'll talk about today, you know, another foundational part of this. And maybe the things we've talked about, like felt safety, trust, and this last one, which is balancing nurture and structure, all kind of serve as foundations that kind of interchange and work together to create what we're talking about, which is like an environment where we can you know, have open communication and thrive as an organizational staff. How do we do that? How do you combine nurture and structure? We're talking about an organization that does work, right? So there is structure, there's work being done.
Yep.
But when it comes to a culture or workplace environment, how can people build structure and nurture in balance together?
Part of me is like, forget the nurture, it's all structure. You know, that's just like my natural bent. But I'm learning that nurture is very important, because there are so many like relationships that are going on. You think of like employees and then, or bosses to employees, employees to the people they serve. You know, if you are working in a school, it's like, okay, you've got the admin, then the faculty, then the staff, right. then right. the parents, then the kids. It's just like such a trickle down effect that if you don't have that good nurture and structure as an example, it's going to be hard to flesh that out.
Yeah.
So just an example. So what I do there is I have meetings with our sixth grade parents. And so a way that I'm like trying to figure out the balance is, you know, when they come in, I have water and snacks, because I'm like, this is going to be a hard conversation. We're talking about getting you out of here, you know.
Right.
And then just learning, like, your kid might not be built for this school, but I'm not going to tell you in like a harmful way.
Right.
But I also have a structure of like a PowerPoint. So it's like, we're going to get through this, because that's yeah. what I need. Like right. I have my talking right. points. But just realizing how to talk about the things we need to talk to, but then also leave space to be like, hey, what are you feeling right now? How can we process this together?
Yeah.
And it takes a lot of practice, a lot of mindfulness for me, because sometimes I'm like, okay, I told you that was not the best fit and you decided to do that. And so now I'm mad. But just figuring out a good balance, and hopefully with having that model, they're able to do that for their yeah, kids as well. Because sure. I'm like, you've got to bring them in for it to all work.
Yeah. Emily, you know, we think about like what Antonio was talking about. It's hard to sometimes, this might just be more of my brain or a male brain thing. I hear nurture in a workplace and I just kind of like, part of me is like, yeah, right. Okay. We're not it's not babies here. It's not like pampering hour or whatever. So help us frame that. Like, what components of nurture would you see? Maybe support might be a more neutral word to use there. Like, but you know, when we're thinking about this, what are some of the components you could see being a part of a regular workplace that would be a nurturing component to your people?
To balance nurture and structure specifically, it's like you need to have clear expectations in your work, but also you need to have flexibility. So nurture, I think, would be something that it's not like you're micromanaging. You have some autonomy. Yeah. Like, you're not given a job and then your boss is like checking in every 5 seconds. Something that Rachel says a lot is meet your needs. So, and that's new to me to hear, even though people have treated me with respect in my other jobs, but it's like, oh, this is a main core component of what we're doing. And if you need to do this for your kid or do this for yourself, like just having mindfulness of what your employees and your coworkers and your clients are going through that are outside of the structure of this appointment. Just compassion and empathy is really important part.
I'm going to piggyback off of that because it's funny that we all have done this, and even other staff here at ETC has done this with me, for me, even this morning. So most of the people who work with me know how important it is that I have my morning coffee. And sometimes, whether I'm working from home or in the office, like there are days I'll get on and I'm like, oh, I haven't had my coffee yet. And it's like, wait, like Emily or Antio, they're like, go get your coffee. Like, we can wait 3 minutes for you to make a cup of coffee. It's okay. And that's the like understanding that that's something that will help me ultimately do better throughout the rest of that meeting. Like, that's something for better or worse, I'm a little bit dependent on caffeine in the morning. And that's important. And that's part of meeting my needs. And there's that flexibility there to say, I know the meeting is supposed to start at X time.
Right.
But we're still going to get through what we need to get through in our meeting. Yeah. And everybody's okay to make that adjustment. And obviously, there are some meetings that I can't do that in. And that's part of where that balance comes in too. Like, if I'm meeting with certain other people, like outside organizations, I may not have that flexibility and I have to wait till that meeting's over. And then there's wonderful days like today. I was in the office, or yesterday, I guess it was, and I had to jump on that meeting. I was here in the office, and our wonderful development manager, Stephanie, was like, are you good? And I was like, yeah, because she saw me running in because I'm always late. And I said, yeah, I just need some coffee. She's like, well, you want me to make you some? And so that's that, like, not only as an organization do we have coffee available to our staff, because that's something many of us need. And that's normal. Like, a lot of organizations have a coffee maker. But for her to say, yes, I'll make you a cup of coffee, like, that's just really caring about the people that you're working for. And I'm not saying anybody should have to do that. It's just
being mindful. Yeah. Just being mindful.
And it just displays y'all have a trusting relationship that was built at work. And there's like always going to be some push and pull, and like, you're now going to be more willing to do something to help Stephanie out at some point because, you know, she's made you coffee before.
Anything so you need, Steph, just let me know.
So when we all kind of operate in that manner, also what ends up happening, you work more efficiently, projects get done more collaboratively, which means they're probably getting done better because you're getting everybody's best, or you're getting the best from, you know, experts in different areas or things, people who have different propensities, you know, jump in. So I think, you know, all these things to say, we're huge proponents of TBRI, obviously, but it does go beyond just helping the way you work with kids. It can help to transform a workplace. Where should people go for next steps to find out more about this?
The first place for all of the background information is Texas Christian University. You can learn all about TBRI and the work that's happening across really the world. And there's some information through that. So you want to look for the Karen Purvis Institute for Child Development.
And I'll link that in the show notes.
Awesome. Thank you. And that is where you'll learn, again, what is TBRI? There are so many videos out there to help you understand it and see how it's being implemented in organizations as well. And then you're welcome to check out our website, Safe and Secure Tennessee, to find out more.
Safeandsecuretn.
Oh, thank you. See, I don't even know our website.
And we help organizations, like, even if you just needed a needs assessment, like, we also do the coaching. It's not always just it's not just the training. Like, we just help and can help like
Integrate.
Yeah, that's not the word though.
Implement.
We can help you implement trauma-aware, trust-based relational intervention because we have frameworks for that and we send proposals out a lot. So that's something if you're listening and you're like, ooh, I've had a lot of employees really struggling right now and I don't know how to help. And we have creative ways that we've learned that can change organizations from the ground up.
If you're in Tennessee, if you're not in Tennessee, don't you dare email us.
Oh my goodness. We will connect you to someone in your state or country.
There's our balance. JD's like, the structure is we serve Tennessee. There's the line. Our nurture is, and I would be happy to help you find the right organization to connect
we
with.
And as Hila said, yes, follow us on Instagram, share the podcast with folks if you want. So yeah, guys, thank you for this. This has been awesome.
Thanks, JD.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, awesome conversation today with our team from Safe and Secure Tennessee. And so again, if you're in the state of Tennessee and you're interested in learning more about working with our team or having our team come in and work with your organization, you can find all the information you need to find on that at safeandsecuretn.org. You can find the link to that below. And if you're wanting to find out about TBRI, learn more about it, there are almost endless resources on that at kpicd.org, or you can just Google the Care and Purpose Institute of Child Development at Texas Christian University. But why would you Google that when you can just click the link below to go find out more about them? So that's all for us today. For everybody here at Empowered to Connect, for Kyle Wright, who edits and engineers all of our audio, for Tad Jewett, the creator of the music behind the Empowered to Connect podcast, I'm JD Wilson, and we'll see you next week on the Empowered to Connect podcast.